Hello everybody, this is Bitnote with David Collins, who will be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Have a good listen. Alright, I think we'll start things off with a very nice sort of carnival theme tune from the video game called Roller Coaster Tycoon. Hope you enjoy. Well, I hope you enjoyed that one. That was the Roller Coaster Tycoon theme tune from the video game Roller Coaster Tycoon. It was released in 1999, and essentially, in case you haven't guessed from the carnival, it was a roller coaster simulator. I think I haven't really covered these much in the show, but there's a lot of games called kind of like construction, building, simulation sort of games. It all started off probably with SimCity back in the 80s, where people were able to build a city in a video game. And there were so many different types of games, or tycoon games, where, you know, either you'd have to create a hospital, such as a theme hospital. The basic gist of these games is that you'd be in charge of managing something. You'd have, like, you know, Sim Tower, Sim City. All of it was just about just having something where you managed and made decisions, theme park, and try to make sure that it all, you know, worked together, that you basically create some thriving building system or whatever, and everything went well. Now, Roller Coaster Tycoon was a really fun spin on this. It had been, its creator Chris Sawyer had previously been made a lot of Transports Tycoon video games, where basically people had to work out an entire transport system. Yeah, if only a couple more people in government were able to play a few games like this. But the point of the matter is, a lot of these games, he then was trying to make a sequel to the sequel to Transport Tycoon. And just at the time, he just became obsessed with roller coasters. So Roller Coaster Tycoon is basically you're given a set of scenario theme parks and you basically have to make the best theme park you can. I mean, with roller coasters and fairground rides and all sorts of carnivals and literally all the fun of the fair. And you can theme it and put down bumper cars. And it's not just that. I mean, it's not just you put down a roller coaster or you place down a bit of, the dodgems or go-karts or whatever, but you can actually work out the exact route that it takes. I mean, this is one of the really cool things about Roller Coaster Tycoon. It's clearly one of those examples where someone, instead of just trying to make a generic game that's the be-all and end-all, like a driving game and a shooting game and a role-playing game and everything else, this is something where it focuses on one specific area and does it the best it damn well can. I mean, it's actually crazy. This was made by Chris Sawyer pretty much on his own. The music there was by Alistair Brimble, who I think I've talked about before, who plays some of his Dizzy theme music. Alistair Brimble's a composer. But this was a game which was programmed pretty much by one guy and developed and designed. And it's got so much detail and emphasis on it. I mean, it's when you actually create a roller coaster, you can the computer tells you, how much G forces are, for instance, on us, whether there's sudden turns or sharp turns, is able to figure out, how much fun, how much excitement, or even how much nausea that the ride's going to cause. So this is kind of one of the trickier things about Roller Coaster Tycoon. You actually have to kind of judge, okay, I want to create a good roller coaster here, but I don't want to create something that's going to make them utterly sick or way too scary. I mean, I did that myself. I created, I'm going to create the super roller coaster, the thing that's going to throw my park attendance way above everything else. So I started up and I made it go really, really high and sharp and then jagged turns and everything. And I made it and it spun around, sharp 90 degrees, plunges, straight ups, everything. And then I placed it down and I made sure it was a big, big long line. You have to specify the queue line size, which is good because you don't want to keep them waiting on two lines. So I had the big queue size and I was waiting and no one went up to it. And then the bottom line profits of my amusement park were kind of falling and I was going, okay then, this doesn't seem to be working. Why aren't people going to the huge, gigantically inspected, gigantically financed park that I practically bankrupt this park to build? And so I analyzed it and it turned out most of the people weren't going to it because because just looking at it seemed to scare the life out of them. In other words, I realized, okay, you can't just create the craziest, most psychotic roller coaster and expect everyone to line up. You actually need to balance it a little. And that's kind of one of the whole tricks to the game. It's actually funny. It was soon after I'd started playing this, soon after a trip to America where I'd been in Six Flags, so it was kind of in that theme. But I was starting to realize, okay, I gotta actually balance this a bit. I can't just you gotta try to have some nice soft rides and some crazy rides and some interesting rides and just keep the diversity up, keep the general public interested, because each individual member of the public will have their own taste. So you gotta try to cater to them all. And it was just, so it was fun stuff like that. You could set down some presets, but presetted tracks, and it was just a great thing because that's what a game does. You try to challenge, you learn, and if something doesn't work, you figure out why and you move on. And of course, a game like this, you've got so many songs. You can even switch some of the, a lot of the rides have their own music. So, you'll look around the park and this part of the park, you'll hear the rides playing this type of music. And if you go to that part of the park, you'll hear other ride music and you can change the ride music. So it's all a lot of fun. And essentially, you can just create some crazy roller coaster rides or try to work out the park format. And it's a challenge in order to try to figure out the best park. But it's also just a lot of fun because we're dealing with fairs. You're dealing with entertainment. You're dealing with the entire of this game is just being about creating an awesome place that people want to go to. And it became a great hit, which was well deserved. It is well loved by many, and I enjoyed it a lot. The game is actually available these days on Good Old Gamers, which is a website that Good Old Games, which is a website that basically specializes in selling relatively old video games. So it's GOG.com. I normally don't advertise sites like this, but I think GOG.com really deserves it because, to be honest, I didn't actually play this back in 1991. I played it a few months ago when it was released, and I heard, whoa, I've heard a lot about this. How this game was part of so many people's childhoods. Well, why don't I give it a try? And then I really, really enjoyed it as a result. I mean, looking back, it's old in some ways, but it just reminds you that back then there was more of a chance of someone really pouring their heart into a product and making it something. So yeah, I don't mind saying I played it recently, or Shilling, a website called, which I believe really focuses itself on making classic great games available to a new audience, and unfortunately I'm not being paid by them. Oh well. So I'll move on to another track and a bit of a change of pace, genre, theme, and pretty much something completely different. Enjoy.
That's my name and they know it. The home of the go-go. Forever be a focus. That's my name and they know it. That's my name and they know it. Go riding in that mean Joe. Tennis shoes clean. They clinging on the G cause it sounds so sweet to them. If I don't sleep when I'm home, got no need for them. Mommy, what you speaking for? You ain't trying to leave with us. To the weak youngers, I ain't gonna follow those. Hell no. Gotta go. Word to my product clothes. A popular product in my town. Homes got a flow. T's call me Papa John. Knock them like a domino. All of those hoes, rollers, and goers be bobbing for. Yeah, I got bread. You don't think we going shopping? No. If we go shopping, definitely we going change clothes. I'm doing Saks Fifth. Leave her at the rainbow. My main focus is I know a lie. She better not follow me. This is optometry. DMP 11s, that's the only way it's gotta be. Be a bullet equivalent, I'm sitting on 23.
My windows down.
Yeah, everybody see us. Yeah. Even if they don't, they gon' feel it through the speakers. You know me from the rap, 4-3 on the sneakers. Yeah, see it like a G-Dub, A-L-E. Got me riding in that black Joe. Looking for some 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 action. She's just a bum, Joe. Shine 365 homes. I make the sun blow. Green like a lawnmower. Cheese like a mouse home. I can use a mint. Best believe a nigga mouth gross. Now all them autopias get them Audemars pieces. Matter of fact, I don't need them. I just rock my diesel. Speaking on the beats, I can beat it till it's beating. Easily kicking, sleeping. Let me tell you who I'm is. Yeah, you better act like you know a youngin. The flow cold, hold up the dick for those running. The whole summer ain't been waiting. Florida, I floors them with something lovely. I am the up and coming, lovely when I am stunting. Ain't sold a record yet, but money's still coming abundance. And I ain't fronting, and I don't bun them, street dates, like roommates, and shiny numbers.
My windows down.
Yeah, everybody see us. Yeah. Even if they don't, they gon' feel it through the speakers. You know me from the rap, 4-3 on the sneakers. Yeah. Gonna see it like G, dude, A-L-E. We be riding in that black joint. Looking for some riding in that black joint.
And what you just heard was from the video game Saints Row 2. Now, there has been a sequel, Saints Row the Third, which was released more recently, but I haven't played it as much, so I'm going to talk about the previous one. Saints Row 2 actually has a pretty kind of, you know, interesting place in video game history. Recent video game history. You see, you're probably all familiar with Grand Theft Auto. It started in the mid-90s, started in the late 90s. It was a top-down video game where you went around and got a reputation for being so violent. But the real revolution of Grand Theft Auto was that, you know, you had a great big open city and you could run around and do whatever tasks you wanted. You'd get missions from various places and, you know, objectives. But it wasn't like the traditional, like, level. I mean, to be honest, it didn't really create anything new. I mean, a lot of these sort of open world sandbox type games had been around before it, but, you know, they gave it a good example of it. They popularized it, where instead of just having one level and each level you get done, you get on to the next level. You've just basically got this wide open area and you've got a bunch of activities to do in it. And then Grand Theft Auto 3 came around and brought the whole thing into 3D, and, you know, video games were not quite the same again. What it became known as the sandbox genre, and everything from Mercenaries 2 to Just Cause, we're all like trying to do the same sort of thing. You know, you're a character in an environment, you can go anywhere in the environment, and then you get all these objectives and you do it. And of course, sometimes you'll just be following the main story of the game, and other times you'll be just taking a great car and jumping it off a ramp at high speed and doing a spectacular crash in the process. So these are what they were called, sandbox. You know, you have fun, you do what you want to do. But then a kind of a funny thing happened. You see, Grand Theft Auto became very, very serious. What it had been before was like nice and fun and over the top and caricatures and everything. With Grand Theft Auto 4, they tried to go for realism, which is basically, which in their terms is basically being as stupid as a video game as it normally is, but covered with a nice garnish of mock seriousness, which kind of worked and it kind of didn't. The game seemed a bit split personality at some stages, you know. It seemed like it was set in a very low-key satire of American culture. But other times it sounded outrageous. And the problem was, it wasn't as easy just to go crazy and just do fun stuff and for the point of it anymore. I mean, I was like San Andreas, for instance. You could cycle on this bicycle and then jump it over low walls or go on a car chase with a tractor. But with Grand Theft Auto 4, it seemed like a lot of the fun stuff was gone and you were meant to treat the main character more as a tortured soul or whatever have you. But then before Grand Theft Auto 4 was released, Saints Row 2 was released, and they went in a different direction. They didn't say, okay, let's go serious. You know, they said, listen, the people play Grand Theft Auto games because they want to have fun, and so let's make our game completely about having fun. And so it goes. I mean, sure, you've got the open city, you've got the urban themes, you've got being part of a gang that you're trying to build back up, which is all, you know, pretty standard cliched stuff. But the whole thing is just how much fun it is. You can stand on cars and then you stand on top of cars, and as they drive off you'll start playing this game called car surfing, where basically you stand on the cars and the person tries to scream around, try to get you off, and you have to keep your balance, and then you can start doing handstands and stuff. There's a mission where basically you're trying to commit insurance fraud, and you do this by jumping in front of cars and they like crash into you and you go bouncing across and you try to hit another car. It's kind of hilarious. There's they've got this other mission where the infamous one where you basically grab this sanitation truck and start spewing spewage around the place. That's a bit low key, but you've at least got this sense that the developers were saying, listen, just have a bit of fun with the whole thing. And so some of the storylines still get a bit serious, but generally you're doing crazy over the top outrageous stuff. You know, blowing stuff up, crazy, parachuting, all this sort of stuff. Whereas, meanwhile, back with Grand Theft Auto 4, you played the first half hour of the game gradually learning the mechanics and learning about this whole story about an American and the true American dream, blah, blah, blah. Whereas with the start of Saints Row 2, you were breaking out of prison at high speed, jumping into a speedboat and starting up a chain gun in the process. I know in some ways it appeals to base interests, but you just gotta have cheese in your life. You gotta have times where you just say, screw everything. Look, we know it's completely and utterly ridiculous, but that's why we like it. And Saints Row 2 was a good example of that. So the actual song, Saints Row 2, was actually made by Volition Inc. And that song you heard was called Riding in the Black Joint by Whale. Now we move on to another song. This is from a game I just mentioned previously. It's from Theme Hospital.
Thank you.
And that was Fortune by Tony Cox and Russell Shaw from Theme Hospital by Bullfrog Productions. Now, Theme Hospital, I love that game. I mean, you know, frankly, I think someone once said recently about Peter Molyneux, who's like recently starting up a new company after leaving Microsoft. You know, people were saying, wait a sec, what the heck? You know, why is Peter Molyneux such a big deal? He's produced Fable, which isn't that good, and Black and White. But the truth was, Peter Molyneux produced a slew of good games. Bullfrog Productions produced a slew of good games, which he was in. And there were a lot of games which were just cherished by a lot of people, and I just loved Theme Hospital. The basic gist is, you are managing this hospital, so you have to make sure everyone comes in, gets treated, and is safe and everything. And it's all got this comics or over-the-top, cheeky, cartoony slant to it. But it's also very tricky, because you need to make sure the rooms are big enough. You got to make sure the GPs and doctors' rooms are big enough so that they feel important enough and have enough windows and do their job well. Sometimes you got to train new staff. At other times, you just got to make sure that guests get to their room as fast as possible. And if there's too much of a bottleneck in patients, then epidemics can break out, and suddenly it can spread from patient to patient. You got to mobilize the nurses to administer vaccines. So sometimes you might just have to admit, hey, there's an epidemic, and get someone else to clear it up, or you can keep it on the hush-hush and try to clear it up yourself. And then sometimes you'll have basic emergencies where there's a crash or an accident or something, and the patients are coming into the hospital, and basically you have to test your hospital to make sure they can get through the system fast enough. So it's a great game, just trying to, and you got to use your funds, design the hospital in the best way as possible, do enough medical research, and basically get as many people healed as possible. It's just a fun game, and it's very involving, and like I said, it's just a great example of it's just a great example of just a nice idea brought well together. Certainly, I could make a whole lot of political jokes about our current system of hospitals and stuff, but I just do not really feel up for it. Is that okay? Thanks. Okay, so we'll move on to Theme Hospital, great game. I'll move on to our last thing, and this is from Beneath a Steel Sky. And it is also, the theme is by David Cummins, and the game is by Revolution Software. Now, Beneath a Steel Sky, by the way, you can get this free online if you want. Go to a website called, and you can also play it, because it was released, it's released in the 90s. It's a classic point-and-click adventure game. You can get it free online because it was released by Revolution Software for free. And if you go to the website scumvm, scummvm.org, or scumvm, or just look it up, there's this engine, this open-source project that'll allow you to play that game, among with many other classic point-and-click adventure games, on pretty much every single platform, everything from the iPhone to the PC to Linux to whatever. So, yeah, so just to let you know that this is a game that you can immediately play for free anywhere, and it's awesome. So, and like I said, Beneath a Steel Sky basically sets in sort of like a post-apocalypse, but not really. I mean, there's a gigantic city. It's kind of like post, things have been screwed up a heck of a lot by pollution or possibly radiation, but we're still sort of doing okay scenario. And you're basically playing Robert Foster, who's based in Australia, outside this in this area called the Gap, which is this wilderness outside of this big city. And then suddenly these guys come, and suddenly they kidnap you, and they destroy the tribe you're with, which kind of pisses you off. They take you into the city, but it crashes, and you're wondering what the heck is going on here. And that's pretty much what you have to follow out. You are followed around by a robotic companion called Joey, who you're able to insert into various different metal bodies and allow him to assist you in various ways. It's a great game. I know I'm sounding it slightly humorous, but it's actually got a great mix of kind of like drama, a bit of humor to lighten the situation, but also seriousness and a great sense of atmosphere to it too. I don't know, it's got the sort of graphics that you associate with the area, you know, sort of like a bit of pixelated, a bit of rough and revy, but you've also got the feeling there's a real emotion trying to get through it as well. And I mean, Revolution did a great job with this game. I played their previous game, Lure of the Temptress, and that was great. And they went on to make the Broken Sword series, which, do I need to talk? That's a classic series in and of itself. Why is Beneath a Steel Sky so good? Well, it's got good characters, good atmosphere, just a great atmosphere. I mean, even the title sounds atmospheric. It's fun to talk to the characters, even though they seem to all have British accents, despite being meant to be set in Australia. Some great sort of like sci-fi things, and there's a nice plot to it too as well, involving great big corporation and what's really going on in the city of the name. But Also, it tries to do some fun, crazy stuff with it as well. You know, you've got it's not just talking to people and walking around. It has some fun activities, and in fact, there's one really cool part that gets a little abstract and fun. But I don't want to spoil it for you like that. Like all adventure games, it's also got its share of puzzles. But I actually really like these ones. You see, with a lot of adventure games, I notice you start out in an area and then you explore it and it seems exciting, but then you get caught on the puzzle and you're not quite sure where to go forward with it. But in this one, it's a little smarter. You can, if you put your mind to it, and obviously you don't miss anything too obvious, you can usually just sort of really figure it out. You know, there's one puzzle in particular, and I mean, there's one puzzle in particular where it's like, you know, you're not given any objective, you know, basic clues or explanations to the puzzle, but then you're starting to thinking, you know, okay, what's the best way to go around it? And then suddenly you have a snap of realization, and then when you realize that, you know exactly to give one specific item to another person. And I mean, the great thing about that was, because in a lot of what adventure games can often be like, is that you're just trying to use every object with every person or every item to try to make some combination work. But the best adventure games are one where you look at the situation and suddenly you have a flash of inspiration. You suddenly start to realize, okay, I get it. I get what I'm meant to do next. And when you do it, you go forward and there's a great feeling of satisfaction. It's nice. It's a great challenge. But, and that's it. There's also great characters. It just reminds me of a lot of games where you really put the effort in, and there's also, like I said, a good few jokes that are kind of funny and take you a little off guard as well, and just clever scenarios. So, you know, just so I say it, highly recommend this game, Beneath the Steel Sky. ScumVM, I probably should mention, great effort in and of itself. Scum is actually this engine that was used by a lot of LucasArts adventure games, but what happened was that a lot of people like Classic Monkey Island series, the original Maniac Mansion, and a lot of people said, "Ah, damn it! I wish we could play these old games." So they created an open source project, which means the source code is available; anyone can access it, and it's all freely available. And they made this program that could support these games, and then it stretched to support a whole range of adventure games. So if you love point and click adventure games, get the ScumVM at scumvm.org, and two M's, by the way, and it's just great for classic adventure games. So I'll leave you now with the ending of Beneath the Steel Sky, composed by David Cummings and developed by Revolution Software, who've made some great adventure games as well. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.